As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to get to these two local ties, local stories to the NFL offseason, because you think about the lasting legacy of Mike Maccagnan as a general manager for the New York Jets. Let's just say it is not going to be a lasting legacy that is beloved here in New York City, especially if you root for the green and white, because Mike Maccagnan, when it comes to drafting players, had about as poor a track record as you are ever going to find. Flat out miserable, every which way, with the exception of a Sam Darnold, with the exception of a Jamal Adams, which, oh, by the way, were slam dunk picks that basically me, you, my 18-year-old cousin, they would have been able to figure out what they were doing as far as Adams and Darnold are concerned. But the whiffs from the second and the third round on, the fact that you had such a few amount of players remaining with the core of the New York Jets, it has made the job for Joe Douglas that much more difficult, building an infrastructure, doing it the right way, on and on we go. But one of the lasting pieces of the Maccagnan regime was that wonderful, and I mean wonderful, contract that he gave to Trumaine Johnson. Trumaine Johnson was supposed to come to the New York Jets and be a lockdown, shutdown corner. He was supposed to be a guy that was going to make things so much easier for whoever was the defensive coordinator, starting first with Todd Bowles and Casey Rogers. Then the following year, it's the idea of Greg Williams reuniting with him, working with him when he was back with the Los Angeles Rams. Let's call it like it is. Trumaine Johnson will go down as one of the all-time Jet free agent busts with the amount of money they paid that guy. He flat out stole money from the New York Jets over the last two seasons. And I think Trumaine Johnson, folks, should be a warning. Trumaine Johnson should be a cautionary tale in NFL free agency, in how NFL free agency can go AWOL, how NFL free agency can put you in a position where you got a ton of money tied up in a given player and you feel like you ain't getting the bang for your buck. That's what the Jets ran into with Johnson. They paid the sort of money that top-notch corners in the league are supposed to command. Not a guy who is going to be, you know, a best friend to wide receivers, basically. Was going to be a guy that couldn't cover me, you, or Pat Boyle. That's a problem. I mean, that's a major, major problem for the amount of money they brought in to bring Trumaine Johnson to this team. So the Jets have salary cap space. They have a new regime. They hopefully have a new way of going about their business. Use Trumaine Johnson as an example of what not to do in overpaying players. You go and identify somebody you love in free agency, and yeah, you want to do it at the premium positions. Maccagnan got it right there. Corner is one of those positions. Offensive line is another. Those bad contracts will cripple you. They will cripple you in the salary cap. They will lead you to a ton of dead money. So thanks, but no thanks when it comes to Trumaine Johnson. I'd say thanks for the memories, but, you know, weren't exactly a whole lot to find in a Jet uniform. So the Jets going to have money to spend. Let's hope that this regime is going to do a much better job of figuring out a way to use it. Addressing the offensive line is a must. I'd say going and getting a wide receiver for Sam Darnold is something I would put on the list, but let's be honest. This free agent crop of wide receivers outside of Amari Cooper, and forget about Emmanuel Sanders, because Emmanuel Sanders leaves the San Francisco 49ers. I don't really see him as a fit for a Jet team that still has a whole lot of work to do before they're one of the contenders in the NFL. I think Emmanuel Sanders leaves, you see him in a place like New England. I think it's far more likely you see Emmanuel Sanders in New England if Tom Brady goes back, as opposed to seeing Emmanuel Sanders with a Jet team that went 7-9 a year ago. But then you get to another bit of, I guess it's Jet-related news, but really it's Giant-related news, because the Jets actually were the beneficiaries of the Leonard Williams trade. We talked about it when that trade was made back in November. Another one of the great gifts, might I add, from the Mike Maccagnan regime. A guy who was supposed to be a can't-miss, unbelievable, top-notch defensive lineman. And I don't care what advanced stats tell me. You watch the game Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There are far too many instances where Leonard Williams was invisible. Invisible in a Jet uniform, invisible in a Giant uniform. So, I wake up this afternoon, and it's beautiful. I'm in a great mood. I know I'm hitting the golf course later in the day, so all is right in the world. I'm scrolling through Twitter. Want to see what I missed as I was going through my slumber. And I see that Leonard Williams is looking for crazy money. That Leonard Williams, and more power to him if he can get it on the open market, believes that he can command anywhere upwards of $13 to $15 million a year. So basically what Leonard Williams is telling you is he wants to be paid like one of the top defensive linemen in the sport. I asked the Jet fan this question, and I'm going to ask the Giant fan this question, because you guys actually have something in common right now. You've seen Leonard Williams play. Jet fans more so than the Giant fan. In watching him play, did you ever get the sense that he profiled as one of the best defensive linemen in football? Nowhere close. You want to tell me he's a solid starter in the league? Different argument. But as far as being one of those guys that you're looking to break the bank for, do you look at him in that way? I sure don't. So, I know the Giants made, for my money, a colossal mistake. And I don't know how anybody could argue otherwise. They gave up a third-round pick for a guy who basically was playing on a non-contending team. They made that trade, and they were like 5-5, 6-4 at the time, and they fizzled out. I understand the logic. They're trying to win. They're trying to go for it. There was absolutely no need to make that move if you were Dave Gettleman. Because now, it's not like Leonard Williams is showing you some sense of loyalty because, well, the Giants and the Jets made a trade. He don't care. And I don't blame him. His agent and his people are probably telling him, look, dude, it's the NFL. Stands for not for long. That means you get as much guaranteed, as much money as humanly possible. So if this team that's got more salary cap space than the Giants and for whatever the reason wants to blow him out of the water, then the Giants could be looking at a double whammy. But here is going to be my take, and it may bother some Giant fans that much more, but here it is. I would cut my losses. As bad as that trade was, and there's nothing Dave Gettleman and the Giants can do in order to take that trade back. It was a mistake. They gave up a third-round pick. It's something they shouldn't feel good about. I'm not in love with the idea of giving this guy $15-plus million a year. I'm not in love with the idea of giving this guy the franchise tag and having him eat up that amount of salary cap space. I don't think he's worth it. For what it's worth, would I rather have Kyle Van Noy on the New York Giants next year, or would I rather have Leonard Williams? I'd rather have Kyle Van Noy, because he's more versatile, he could do a lot more things, he's got the comfort level dealing with Joe Judge. Joe Judge knows him from his days with the New England Patriots. The defensive coordinator coming over from the Miami Dolphins, ties to the New England Patriots. I'm okay with that. And I know it's basically taking a third-round pick and flushing it right down the toilet. That sucks. Absolutely sucks. But it's like, you don't want to make two mistakes. Cut your losses. I would say goodbye to Leonard Williams. I would not give him crazy money. He's looking for crazy money, he'd go elsewhere. And it will bring to light Dave Gettleman's incompetence in certain matters that much more. That was as bad a trade as you could possibly make. I didn't understand it at the time. I don't understand it right now. Because guess what? If you liked Leonard Williams that much, you could have signed him. You could have just signed him. All of a sudden now, did the Giants get anything out of bringing him into the building? What, to play a couple more games? Who cares? Totally different system. You know, it's not like the system that he was playing with the New York Giants is carrying over to 2020. That trade was a joke. It was an embarrassment. But then again, many things about this Gettleman tenure have been exactly that. But moving forward, I cut my losses. I would not bring Leonard Williams back. For that price, no way, no how.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.